All right, well, we want to welcome everyone to this midweek service, November the 30th. Last service, November this year, another year flying by. And a lot of things going on, a lot of good going on right now. And I thank God for it. There's a volcano erupting in Hawaii. Been dormant for 38 years. I'm going to say it's attributed to that scripture there in Isaiah chapter 5, talking about hell has enlarged itself. I think hell's getting so full that it's coming out. It's getting too many in it. I think this hour we're living in, boy, a lot of wickedness, a lot of corruption, a lot of sinners going to meet that fate.
Yeah.
And hell hadn't frozen over. One way you know there's a hell, it's not really hard to know there's one, but every time that volcano erupts, it shows you what hell looks like inside this earth. They say it's millions and billions of years old. Well, if it is millions and billions of years old, hell hadn't froze over. Lord says it's about 6,000 years old. And he said hell is beneath. He said heaven's above.
Yeah.
And every time one of them volcanoes erupt, I'm sitting there thinking, well, God's showing us what hell looks like.
Yeah, that's right.
And also, buddy, these that are mock say something about hell freezing over. It obviously has not. And there's lava running everywhere right now in Hawaii.
Hi, Mary.
And we're in Job chapter number 35 tonight. We finished up Job 34. I want to recap on a last, I guess, last three or four verses there. Elihu, he's been silent. All of Job's three friends have been speaking, and Job's been speaking. Now Elihu, he can't be silent no more. He said he's about to bust, and he's been better off staying silent.
Yep.
And it ain't hard to see that. We've got a lot of people that are sick. We got a phone call yesterday, just a terrible situation. We want to have a word of prayer before we get in our lesson tonight.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're the good shepherd that love your sheep. And Lord, you said you would not leave us comfortless. You said you would come to us. In John chapter 14, verse number 18. Lord, you're the shepherd that walks the dark hills. Lord, when the troubles get so big that we can't bear them, you show up and help us, Lord, to carry the load.
Yes.
I pray for your children tonight, Lord. I've been naming them every morning for the last two or three mornings. And Lord, been praying longer than normal because of the great need and because of so many, Lord, that are sick and suffering right now. But we pray, Lord, tonight for your children that are sick, your children that are suffering.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray, Father God, for this country, Lord, that just can't get enough. They just know no shame. It seemed like, Father, they try to, add sin to sin. They just will not let you be God. They just, Lord, they're deniers. They don't want to admit that, Lord, not only you love them and not only that you exist, but that one day they're going to stand and give an account to you.
Yeah.
And, Lord, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They try to remove you. Lord, out of everything, they can't remove you out of nothing. And Lord, you're before all things, and by you all things consist. And Lord, we just pray for them, God, tonight. We pray, Lord, Father, for these that are sick. We pray, God, tonight for these that are lost. We pray, Lord, God, tonight for these, Lord, that are cold and, Lord, indifferent. These, Lord, that are going through, Lord, this sickness. Father, a lot of churches got people right now with, I don't know, it's like a flu, like a bug, Lord, really contagious, really bad.
Yeah.
A lot of people got sore throat, a lot of people got runny nose, a lot of people, Lord, got the symptoms, Lord, of pneumonia. And I think Sister Joanne may have pneumonia. We pray for her, pray for Joe, Rita's husband, pray for Rita, pray for Eric.
Yeah.
Well, we pray, Lord, Father, tonight for Mitchell, we pray for Phyllis, we pray for Bessie, his sister. Pray, dear Father God, tonight for Lorna, Mark, and Kay. Pray for her sister, pray for Lord, her nephews and nieces. Pray, Lord Father, for Lord Kay's health and Brother Mark to heal up from the surgery.
Yes.
Lord, we pray, dear Father, tonight, Lord, for James and Patty, both of them sick. We pray for Sharon. Pray for Sybil. Pray, dear Father, Lord, tonight for Patrick and Sarah, Lucy and Chase and Micah. Pray, dear Lord, tonight for Carolyn and Jerry. Pray for Danny and Tammy, for Thomas, Lord, for Abby and Landon. Lord, we pray for Carol and Larry. Pray for Levi and Serenity. Lord, just so many sick. So many, Lord, needing prayer. We pray for them, God, tonight. I pray for Billy. I pray, Lord, for Kevin. I pray for Denise. Lord, got needs. We pray, Lord, for little Sarah that had a swimming accident. Pray for Eli. Yeah. Pray for Maverick. Lord, we pray for Mary that's listening right now. Lord, got an issue, Lord, that only you can help with. Lord, I'm glad things that are impossible with men are possible with God.
That's right.
I'm glad, Lord, you do all things well. Nothing's too hard for you. Lord, you speak the word that's done. And we pray, Lord, Father, for these tonight, Lord, that are fearful. These tonight, Lord, that are worried. We pray for them, God. Many problems, Lord, are being encountered right now. Financial problems, physical problems, spiritual problems. We pray for them, God, tonight, that they cast all their care upon you and find out that you care for them. Help our country, Lord. Help our leaders, Lord. I know your word says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And I don't believe they fear the Lord. I believe, Lord, they're not only promoting the evil and wickedness, but, Lord, they just seem like that's what they want.
Yes.
They hate light. They want darkness.
Yes.
They hate, Lord, righteousness. They want wickedness. We pray, Lord, you'd help them, God, tonight. Bless our efforts here tonight, Lord. We love you tonight. We thank you for being with us and helping us all this week. Been a blessing. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things, Lord, tonight. Amen.
Hi, Norma. Hi, Sarah.
Like I said, Elihu, he'd been better off just to sit there and been silent. But about the last four verses of chapter 34, Elihu says, "Let men of understanding tell me, and let a wise man hearken unto me."
Mm-hmm.
He says Job has spoken without knowledge. That's quite a untruth and a low blow. He said, and his words were without wisdom. And again, an untruth. And Job is not only got knowledge and wisdom, but he uses knowledge and wisdom well. And Elihu says, my desire is that Job may be tried unto the end because of his answers for wicked men. He said, for he addeth rebellion unto his sin, calling Job a sinner, and he clappeth his hands among us and multiplieth his words against God. And none of that's true.
No.
Verse 35, chapter 35, verse 1. Elihu spake moreover and said, thinkest thou this to be right, that thou hast said, my righteousness is more than God's? Job never said that.
No.
And a lot of people say a lot of things about a lot of people, and it may not necessarily be true, but in this case, it's for sure not true.
No.
And Job never said, my righteousness is more righteous than God. By the time we get to chapter 37, I'm sure these men had probably had enough of this young man. But in chapter 38, God intervenes and he comes out of hiding and says he's had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Of this young man uttering words without knowledge, what he says. He said in verse 3, for thou saidest, what advantage will it be unto thee? And what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? Boy, I'm glad I am cleansed from my sin. The Bible said if we confess our sin, The blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleansed us from all sin.
Amen.
And I did that, and I did get cleansed. And I thank God for that cleansing. Amen. He says, I will answer thee and thy command, thy companions with thee. Elihu's putting himself above Job, putting himself above Job's friends. He said, I will answer thee and thy companions with thee. Like I said, Elihu is making a lot of mistakes here. One is he's usurping authority. Mm-hmm. Another is, you know, he's rising above these men. These are very wise men.
You want a piece of hard candy?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
He said, look unto the heavens and see. That is good. Every time you look, they declare the glory of God.
That's right.
And he said, and behold, the clouds which are higher than thou, if thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thy hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man by reason of the multitude of oppressions. They make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, where is God thy maker who giveth songs in the night? There's a radio program called Songs in the Night.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it early in the morning.
Yeah.
And this verse is where they got the name of that radio program. He does give songs in the night. Last two mornings, I woke up about 2:30 in the morning, and in the stillness of the morning, just laying there in bed, Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I'm God. And just laid there in the bed and wept and prayed this morning, yesterday, a little bit the day before that. Just quiet, good time to pray.
Yeah.
And fellowshipping with the Lord, making intercession for all the sick. But Elihu says they cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty, but none saith, where is God my maker who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth more than the beast of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven? There they cry, but none giveth answer, because the pride of evil men. He said, surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Although thou sayest, thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore trust thou in him. But now, because it's not so, he hath visited in anger, yet he knoweth it not in great extremity. Therefore doeth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth his words without knowledge. That's twice that he's accused Job of not having knowledge.
Yeah.
Verse 1 of chapter 36. Elihu also proceeded and said, suffer me a little. They've suffered him a bunch already.
Yeah.
He wanted to go on further. He said, suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. You know, God doesn't need Elihu. Elihu needs God. He needs God. He said, I will fetch my knowledge from afar.
Brother, he loves you, Lucy.
And will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doeth establish them forever, and they are exalted. Now, he gives a little discourse here about kings and leaders, and it's pretty good. He's on the mark here. He said, if they be found, if they be bound in fetters, and be holden in cords of affliction, he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword,
right,
and they shall die without knowledge. God does bring leadership in subjection.
Yes,
but you know, Nebuchadnezzar repented, said the Most High rules in the affairs of men.
Yeah.
He said those that walk in pride, he's able to obey. And he says, but the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. Some people, they're not open to discipline, and tough guys, they cry not when he bindeth them. They're bitter, stubborn.
Yeah.
Says they die in youth. They don't live long. Bible mentions in Psalms 55 that they don't live out half of their days.
Right.
Psalms 55, I think it's right there at the end. It says, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days.
Aye.
Last verse of Psalms 55. Talk about God bringing them down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men,
yeah,
shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. They're stout-hearted. They won't listen. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. That means they don't go to heaven. He delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. Even so would he ever move thee out of the strait into a broad way where there is no straitness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. In other words, God, Elihu's not altogether wrong in some of this. He said, God would bless you, Job. He said in verse 17, but thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked, judgment and justice take hold on thee. He's accusing Job of being disobedient and not responding to the chastening hand of God. He said, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. He's not altogether wrong, but he's not right neither.
Right.
God did deliver Job into the hands of Satan.
Yes, he did.
And Job's been through it. He don't really need this Elihu speech here. He said, will he esteem thy riches? The Bible says, who can give God a ransom for his neighbor? God doesn't need no money. He said the silver and gold's his. Cattle on a thousand hills are his.
That's right.
And the taters in the hills too, one preacher said.
I agree.
But he won't esteem thy riches. No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. He said, desire not the night when people are cut off in their place. Take heed. Regard not iniquity, for this hast thou chosen rather than affliction.
Yeah.
Behold, God exalteth by his power, who teacheth like him. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I like it when God teaches me something.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm able to receive it and remember it. He said, who hath enjoined him his way, or who can say thou hast wrought iniquity. Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold, every man shall see it. Man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great. We know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that is something there. God,
yeah.
He has no beginning, no ending.
That's right.
He's eternal.
Eternal, forever and ever and ever.
We can't hardly understand that. Like I said, some
our
of this stuff...
That, won't let us understand it.
Some of this stuff that Elihu's saying is true. God is great. There's none greater. When he couldn't swear by no greater, he swore by his own name to Abraham there in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. And he said, the number of his years, neither can the number of his years be searched out. It ain't like a lot of people would like to, I think they finally did get their hand on Donald Trump's tax returns for the last 4 years or something like that. A lot of people like to do God like that. They like to know the number of his days. They like to know the hiding of his power.
Mm.
They like to know how to have an advantage. God just winks at them. Thank God he's merciful. Thank God he's gracious. And you know, the wisdom of this world is foolish with God.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he's a living God.
Mm.
Says verse 27, for he maketh small the drops of water. Brother Ed said they had some hail last night.
Mm-hmm.
He makes all that. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Who can any see? Also can any understand the spreading of the clouds or the noise in his tabernacle? Behold, he spreadeth his light upon it and covereth the bottom of the sea. For by them judgeth he the people. He giveth meat in abundance. You know what? There's enough fish and life in the ocean to feed the world for, I don't know, probably a million years. But, you know, you could never deplete it, is what I'm saying. Two-thirds of this earth is water. And God has got enough substance in the sea alone to feed the world, all the world for eternity, really. We'll never deplete, said he giveth meat in abundance. With clouds he covereth the light and commandeth it not to shine by the cloud that cometh betwixt. The noise thereof showeth concerning it, the cattle also concerning the vapor. At this also my heart trembled and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth.
Yeah.
He directeth it under the whole heaven and his lightning under the ends of the earth. I'm glad God's in charge. We
right.
We preached last Sunday night, and I felt terrible. I loved the message. I just wasn't up to preaching. Done my best with it.
Yes.
But I am glad God's in charge. The Bible said he setteth up and taketh down. And you know, we've got a lot of fraud, a lot of fake news and stuff going on. And I'd be worried about all that if God wasn't in charge. Nothing misses his eye. And He's got the final say in everything. If it was in the hands of men, we'd have much to worry about. But it's in the hands of God. He even mentioned this about Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh have I raised up just to make a name for himself. And Pharaoh never even knew none of that. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? But God, he does all this. He directeth it under the whole heaven. His lightning under the ends of the earth. And thank God he is in charge. After it a voice roareth, talking about lightning, thunder, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency. Well, nobody can match God.
No.
And there's no way to deny him. I don't think I ever completely denied God. I didn't know him. I knew of him, but I didn't know him until April 27th, 1988.
Yeah.
And now for 34 plus years, I've been trying to know him better.
Yeah, that's right.
I do know him now personally, but I'm trying to get to know him better and spend time with him more. And the thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. I mean, like I mentioned about that volcano, we can't do nothing about that, but
no.
God can.
That's right.
He can cause it to erupt, he can cause it to shut up and go back silent. Like I said, it had been silent for 38 years. In fact, the last time it erupted was in 1984. He saith to the snow. You notice who's doing the talking? Elihu's doing the talking, but notice who he's saying says to the snow. Be thou on the earth. You know, science, they think they've got all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they did, it'd be the wrong answers. But from what I've observed from science, and I love science. I had a passion for science. I did pay attention in science. I was very interested in science. But what I found out is science questions everything. And God gives the answer for everything, but science don't like to acknowledge it.
No,
and he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. I think it snowed 6 feet in New York, and I think it snowed 7 feet in California. We just had a bunch of torrential rain come through,
mm-hmm.
hurricanes come through. But in all of that, God is in charge. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, this verse right here, it's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Verse 7. He sealeth up the hand of every man that all men may know his work. Now, men can know, just they don't want to know.
That's right.
But every atheist looking him right in his face is his fingerprint, the endorsement of his creator upon the palm of his hand. God said he didn't just put that fingerprint on there. He said he sealeth up the hand of every man that all men may know his work. That's undeniable. I've got a different fingerprint than Brother Ed. He's got a different fingerprint than I do. And it's kind of like the endorsement of God. That all men may know his work.
Yeah.
Now they won't acknowledge that, but God did. Mm-hmm. He put it right there.
Mm-hmm.
I call that my fingerprint verse. Then the beasts go into the dens and remain in their places. You know, bears go hibernate in the wintertime.
Right.
And they don't have to tell nobody to tell them to do that. They know what to do. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind. You know, most tornadoes come from the south. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
And the cold out of the north, by the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the water is straightened. Talking about frozen.
Yeah.
I can walk on water as long as it's frozen.
That's right.
If it ain't frozen, I don't walk too good on water. Also by watering, he weareth the thick cloud. He scattereth his bright cloud. It is turned around about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Not only does God send the rain, but sometimes there's a purpose in it. I just thought of a verse here that I need to look up. Nahum, one of the minor prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it says here. Nahum.
Hi, Brenda.
Nahum chapter 1, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Says the Lord is slow to anger.
Thank you, Jesus.
And in great power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. That's what he told Moses.
Yeah.
says the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. I've yet to see anybody argue with the tornado, but Job here mentions he causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. I heard this in a book wrote by Bill Grady called What God Wrought, when Elder George Bush made Israel give up land for peace.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, they made a movie called The Perfect Storm. But the next day, against all odds, complete impossibility, a tornado came and went straight to the door of the house of Senior George Bush and hit his house the next day.
Yeah.
Sometimes God sends the whirlwind and the storm. Job says he causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. George Bush got the message.
Yeah, that's right.
Thought he might have to keep his nose out of the affairs of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. I say amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Psalm said, stand still.
Yeah, know I am God.
Yeah, be still, know that I am God.
Yeah.
He said, doest thou know when God disposeth them and causeth the light of his cloud to shine? Doest thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? He's right on a lot of this stuff. God is perfect in knowledge. How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten looking glass? Teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speak, surely he shall be swallowed up.
Yeah.
Now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Fair weather cometh out of the north. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
With God is terrible majesty, and that's true too. No one can stand in his presence. In his presence they become dead men.
Mm-hmm.
He said, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. Now, like I said, Job and his three men have suffered this young boy kind of speaking out of turn, kind of speaking when he should have been listening. And not only, I guess, have they had enough, but God's had enough. Chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job by the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man. You know, God wants us to be a man.
Yeah, that's right.
Job didn't have no problem with gender identity, and I don't think anybody should have one unless they're just insane. I believe it's mental illness.
Yeah.
I believe we need to get sex ed out of the classroom, teach our little children about reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't mind them teaching history, Brother Ed, as long as they teach them the right history.
Right.
God says here, gird up now thy loins like a man. He said, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid? Now there's some profound statements God makes here. It's some of my favorite territory in the Bible. God is pretty much putting man in his place. God said, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, scientists would like to say they've got all the knowledge, all the understanding.
Yeah.
God would say to science, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? He said, declare if thou hast understanding. They ain't got a clue. Who has laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? In other words, God said, how much is there? How much does it weigh? Or who has stretched the line upon it? You know, God that created the earth, formed it to be inhabited there in Isaiah 45. Formed it to be inhabited. Ain't that something? We got gravity here. Isaiah 45 verse 18. God Himself that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth, He made it, He hath established it, He created it not in vain. It's important. He formed it to be inhabited, saying, I am the Lord, and there is none else. You see, this ain't just a mud ball. This was the place God created to be inhabited. It has gravity. It has seasons. It has a sun. It has a moon. I sleep sometime. And I sleep by the light of the moon. Back when I worked in the factory, they had me all out of kilter. I was sleeping in the daytime. But I sleep a whole lot better at nighttime.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't need Relaxum at nighttime. I don't need my pillow at nighttime. I just need somewhere to pillow my head, amen. God here demanding answers. He said, whereupon are the foundations thereof fasting? You know, the Bible said He hung the earth on nothing.
Yeah.
And it's still hanging there.
That's right.
He said, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? You know, you take a compass and it'll point towards the North Pole. You always know which direction north is. Who done that? I'm just telling you, this thing was, it was created to be inhabited.
Yes, that's right.
We actually need the gravitation. We need gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been taking people in outer space and thinking, you know, that it's going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. God formed the earth to be inhabited. They're going to get out of kelter out there.
Yeah.
They need gravity. They need food. They need water.
Yeah.
They need air to breathe.
Yeah.
He said, who laid the cornerstone thereof? God laid the cornerstone of the world, measured out how much dirt was needed, measured out the water, put it all together, hung it on nothing. Man's been questioning his head about creation ever since. He said, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who shut up the sea with doors when it breaketh forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and the thick darkness a swathing band for it. He break it up and break it up from my decreed place and set the bars and doors and said, hitherto shall thou come, but go no further. There shall the proud waves be stayed. Then I've been down to the ocean before. And at low tide, the waves go way back, but it's still... They still roar. They still want to come. And they can't come, but just so far. God gave them commandment that that was as far as they could come.
Right.
And for what it's worth, it's the gravitational pull of the moon. But God set all that in order. And He commanded the ways they could come no further. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place, God? He's not interested in daylight savings time.
No.
But He commanded the morning since the beginning of time, caused the day spring. You know, I can't get enough of the Bible. But here's something here global warming don't like. God put it in here anyway. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, God said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God commanded all that.
Right. But that wasn't meant for the Democrats.
No, they they want everything to be chaos and out of kelter.
Yeah, they do.
I have to admit, it's been out of kelter ever since they took office.
Yes, Lord.
Our problems started almost immediately with a stop of the construction of the border fence, stop the Keystone Pipeline.
Yes, Lord.
And giving our strategic oil supplies to our greatest enemies.
Oh, my goodness.
Making deals with the devil almost.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Yeah. God here says, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. I don't know if you know this or not, but Black Lives Matter, they hold an arm up like this right here.
Yeah, they do.
Not a good idea. God here, he says that high arm shall be broken. He said, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? Declare it if thou knowest it at all. See, God, he's putting man in his place here.
Mm-hmm.
He said, where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? My pastor mentioned one time that snow puts nitrogen in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we have a lot of snow, we have a good crop next year.
That's right.
Hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved in the time of trouble against the day of battle and war? Says, by what way is the light parted? You know, you can take a prism and hold it up, and the light will go in clear and come out rainbow colored.
Mm-hmm.
And God here mentions the way the light is parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth. He said, who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder? You know, God calls all the waters to run into the sea and vaporize, go back, water the earth, come back. And he mentions that it'll be in here shortly. He says, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Hast the rain a father? Who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who gendered it? There's a little bit of reference to gender right there.
Yep.
The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet incenses, sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orin? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth any season, or canst thou guide Acurius with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that the abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth to the hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, will thou hunt the prey for the lion? Will thou feel the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth for the raven his food when his young ones cry out unto God? They wander for lack of meat. You see, God is putting man in his place.
Yeah, that's right.
When God opened his mouth, there wasn't a single answer.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, man would do well to listen more to God than to argue with God. We thank God for the book of Job. It's a tremendous book. Anytime I get some intellectual thinks he knows it all, I just ask him to answer any of these questions that God asked Job and Elihu and Bileaz and all of his friends there. And they all scratch their head, and I say, nobody but God can answer those questions. That's why we got the book of Job to show us that there's a big difference between God and us. Amen.
Yes, they are.
Father, we thank you for this lesson tonight. Thank you for those that were listening in. Thank you, Lord, for the utterance you give us, the understanding you give us. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Bless, I pray, all these that are sick. Help them to recover. Help them to get better. Lord, we look forward to Sunday morning. Pray, dear Father, Lord, there'd be some lost person stumble in here. They'd be sincere. Send somebody to tell me how to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to get saved and go to heaven. We welcome that, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for those that have been saved here. And we praise you for those that are here. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. We would ask if there's any questions, but due to the fact we've got very few people here, I don't think there'd be no questions. Amen. But that was teaching out of the book of Job from 35, I think, to 38. And we'll stop there tonight. God's given a lot of discourse here on things that pertain to Him that are over our head. Amen.